live from Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app. 95.7 St. Croix Country. WSCM Baldwin. Your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country.
Turned 18. We lived in a one-room run-down shack on the outskirts of New Orleans. We didn't have money for food or rent, to say the least. We were hard-pressed. Then Mama spent every last penny we had to buy me a dancing dress. Well, Mama washed and combed and curled my hair, and she painted my eyes and lips. Then I stepped into a satin dancing dress that had a split from the side clean up to my hip. It was red velvet trimming and it fitting me good. And standing back from the looking glass, there stood a woman where a half-grown kid had stood. She said, here she wants chance, fancy, don't let me down. She said, here she wants chance, fancy, don't let me down. Mama dad, a little bit of perfume on my neck, then she kissed my cheek. And then I saw the tears welling up in her troubled eyes as she started to speak. She looked at a pitiful shack and then she looked at me and took a ragged breath. She said, your paw's runned off and I'm real sick and the baby's gonna starve to death. She handed me a heart-shaped locket that said, to thine own self be true. And I shivered as I watched a roach crawl across the toe of my high-heel shoe. It sounded like somebody else who was talking, asking, Mama, what do I do? She said, just be nice to the gentleman fancy, they'll be nice to you. She said, here's your one chance fancy, don't let me down. Here's your one chance fancy, don't let me down. The baby mama died and I ain't been back. But the wheels of fate started to turn, and for me there was no way out. Wasn't very long till I knew exactly what my mama been talking about. I knew what I had to do when I made myself this solemn vow. I was gonna be a lady someday, though I didn't know when or how. But I couldn't see spending the rest of my life with my head hung down in shame. You know I might have been born plain white trash, but fancy was my name. She said, here's your one chance, fancy, don't let me down. Oh, here's your one chance, fancy, don't let me down. Lord, forgive me for what I do, but if you won't have one, it's up to you. Now don't let me down, hon, your mama's gonna move you uptown. Oh, and I guess she did.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
Most people look forward to their golden years when they can finally set aside work and career. But experts say it's vital for you to make retirement plans and goals, because they can keep you happy and healthy in your senior years.
The question is, in retirement, where will you turn for your sense of purpose? What will you do to replace that sense of identity when you retire?
Then, your family may be dealing with a nightmare if they can't access all your digital passwords in an emergency.
Any password for your computer or your tablet, your investment or retirement accounts, bills, utilities, all of those things fall under that digital estate.
Those two stories and more are ahead on this week's show. Don't go away. The show begins right after this.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. the AutoZone free Fix Finder service can help find the fix for free.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix Finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or diabetes, you're at higher risk of being hospitalized from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When it comes to my lifestyle and diet, I don't always make the smartest choices.
Touchdown! Woo! Hey, how about another round and some more chips?
But when it comes to taking care of my liver, I do make one very smart choice. Active Liver Tablets from New Nordic. I used to have real issues with my liver, and at my last checkup, my doc was concerned about my numbers. But since adding a once-a-day active liver tablet, my gut's better, I feel great, and my doctor's happy. I ask a lot of my liver, so the least I can do to say thanks is a daily dose of active liver.
You ask a lot of your liver, so give it the support it needs with active liver. You can find active liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, visit NewNordicUSA.com. Go to New, NordicUSA.com. Amazon, or ask for active liver at your local CVS. New year, new you, new Nordic.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
Many of us make financial plans for retirement, carefully setting aside funds for our golden years. But few people think about how they'll fill each day in retirement when work and career no longer matter. Planning ahead can help you truly enjoy retirement. With more, here's InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Christine Benz is the Director of Personal Finance and Retirement Planning for Morningstar Incorporated. She's a renowned expert on retirement planning and personal finance, and now the author of How to Retire, 20 Lessons for a Happy, Successful, and Wealthy Retirement. Christine, when I saw that you wrote about 20 different aspects of retirement, it underscored to me how complex retirement planning can be. But each chapter of this book is a conversation with one of the world's most insightful thinkers, many on topics other than money. What are some of the more unexpected areas of conversation you explored?
I have to say, in my own work, I had been underappreciating all the non-financial aspects of retirement. I think it's awfully easy to immerse ourselves in the spreadsheets and safe withdrawal rate discussion and portfolio construction. And we kind of forget about the things that constitute happiness and quality of life throughout our lives, including in retirement. So the book delves into relationships. It delves into the importance of purpose as an animating force really throughout our lives. And many of us do get some sense of purpose through our work. The question is, in retirement, where will you turn for your sense of purpose? And some people may have a really ample set of purposes that they're pursuing that aren't related to their work. But for some of us, we may need to make sure that we are backfilling the purpose that we're leaving behind. Many people can grapple with a loss of identity as they retire. And this is particularly true among people who have kind of the high status professions in our society. So the attorneys and the doctors. So the question is, if you very much see yourself as the attorney or the doctor or the financial advisor, what will you do to replace that sense of identity when you retire? Will you be okay with that loss of identity or that change in identity? So we explore a lot of different topics like that. Ultimately, I love that the book really brings those human elements to the fore. And it also recognizes that a lot of these financial decisions we make are intimately intertwined with some of these non-financial considerations.
One of your chapters explores ways to visualize your in-retirement lifestyle. Can you explain what that may mean?
Yeah, I sat down with Michael Finca, who is one of my favorite retirement researchers, and a lot of his work has been about what makes people happy in retirement. Spoiler alert, watching TV does not make people particularly happy. So we talk about the importance of putting in place a structure to support a successful retirement. Michael thinks it's super important to think about specifically how you'll fill your days and also how you will make sure that you have healthy habits that contribute to you being able to continue to do the things that constitute quality of life for you. So in the book, Michael talks about how hiking is one of his passions and something he wants to do more of in retirement. But he also talks about the health considerations that figure into his ability to do some of those hikes. So we talk about healthy habits. We talk about how you need to retire from something and you need to relax from something. He talks about how a common pitfall for many people when they embark on retirement is that they focus too much on the leisure piece. And of course, many of us, as retirement approaches, we have somewhat of a sense of pent-up demand with respect to leisure. But Michael talks about how when you're pursuing leisure, when you're on vacation, it's sweeter when you're actually feeling like you're relaxing from something that you've accomplished, how we all need that balance throughout our lives. And that continues into retirement, that if you are pursuing achievements, and it doesn't have to be something super aspirational, but if you're pursuing things that give you that sense of purpose, when you actually relax, it feels that much better because you've accomplished something.
Our guest on InfoTrack is Christine Benz. She's the Director of Personal Finance and Retirement Planning for Morningstar Incorporated and the author of How to Retire, 20 Lessons for a Happy, Successful, and Wealthy Retirement. Christine, you talked with another expert about planning for healthcare expenses. That's one that I think many people don't really think about enough because they think Medicare has it covered. And it's also a scary one because everyone is different and health problems can be unpredictable. What are the big lessons about healthcare planning?
Yeah, I tapped Carolyn McClanahan to discuss that topic with me. Carolyn is a financial planner and she's also a medical doctor. So she's in a great spot to address how we should think about healthcare as we age, how we should think about paying for healthcare as we age. She discusses the importance of making sure that you have a healthcare practitioner. Maybe this is your internal medicine doctor, but someone who is skilled at working with older adults. Unfortunately, it's a shrinking share of doctors who want to do this kind of work. But she talks about lining up that healthcare team, also making sure that you have documents in place to support your wishes as you encounter healthcare considerations. So making sure that you have that power of attorney signed on. And we spent a lot of time in that chapter discussing what Medicare does and does not cover. Carolyn is a believer in traditional Medicare for most people versus Medicare Advantage, which bundles together a lot of different aspects of healthcare coverage into a single plan. Carolyn prefers traditional Medicare plus some sort of a supplemental policy. So we delved into that. And then we also talked about the real wild card in the realm of healthcare planning, which is long-term care, which Medicare explicitly does not cover. This is the type of care that we need if we need assistance with activities of daily living. So things like bathing ourselves or feeding ourselves or preparing food. Medicare does not provide coverage for long-term care. So it's incumbent upon all of us to at least assess where our resources stand as retirement approaches. And I think figure out what is a sensible plan given our finances. Are we good candidates for relying on government-funded care? And in the U.S., the government does provide the lion's share of long-term care. Should we explore some type of insurance coverage, or do we want to try to self-fund long-term care? Those are really the three main buckets. To me, that's one of the biggest stress points in a lot of retirement plans. It's a source of anxiety for a lot of older adults. I think you do yourself a big favor by coming into retirement having thought about it preemptively.
Another of your chapters focuses on what women need to do differently in planning for retirement. What do women need to know?
This was such a great discussion with Jean Chatsky, who is kind of a rock star in the realm of personal finance. And one of Jean's big passions is what women need to do for their financial wherewithals, and that includes retirement. Women tend to be more likely to be poor than men in retirement. Single women especially are vulnerable from that standpoint. So Jean talks about the value of really taking advantage of your peak earnings years to save for retirement, how women need to make sure that they are taking adequate risk in their portfolios, because that's something that we sometimes see when we look at the data, that women tend to have less in stocks than they should. And women particularly need to hedge against longevity, because we tend to outlive our male partners by a couple of years. And so that means that we need to take more risk rather than less in our portfolios. Jean talks about the value of getting advice, making sure that you are sharing your financial information with some sort of a trusted advisor, and also making sure that you are laying the groundwork for a long-term care plan. Because women do tend to outlive their partners by a couple of years, that tends to mean that we provide long-term care for our male partners oftentimes, but then they predecease us. And so we are more likely to need paid long-term care than our partners. She also discusses the importance of elder care. So many women are caregivers for their parents, either directly or indirectly. As their parents age, adult daughters are so often those main caregivers for their parents.
Christine Benz, the author of How to Retire, 20 Lessons for a Happy, Successful, and Wealthy Retirement. Christine, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
Next, in a crisis, can your loved ones access your passwords? That story as InfoTrack continues.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Sounds like you heard about our Mobil 1 giveaway. Right now, you can get a free Red Bull racing sign when you buy 5 quarts of Mobil 1 motor oil. And you can enter to win a signed undershirt from F1 champion Max Verstappen. Find Mobil 1 at any one of our 6,300 stores or on AutoZone.com. Ends November 18th. No purchase necessary for giveaway.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
See AutoZone.com for details.
Home ownership. At Progressive, we know it's part of the American dream. It's sea to shining sea, and water damage as far as the eye can see.
It's America!
It's freshly mowed grass and a fence that was freshly vandalized by a pack of unruly teens.
It's America!
It's also round-the-clock protection when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, which can help keep the American dream of homeownership alive and kicking. Get a quote at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
It may seem like a strange question, but what happens to your passwords when you die? Here to help answer the question is Mary James from allaboutcookies.org, and she's done some research on this question. When we talk about passwords, we're talking about access to one's digital assets. What exactly are digital assets, and how do they differ from physical assets?
Well, they can be
A little bit of everything. Your bank accounts are considered digital assets. Most of us now access our banks through some type of online banking or mobile phone app. Speaking of phones, your passcodes also fall into that category. Any password you might have for your computer or your tablet, your investment or retirement accounts, bills, utilities, your Amazon account, which you make purchases through, your email, your social network, all of those things all fall under that digital estate.
And many people apparently overlook digital assets in their estate planning. Your article says 24% of people with a will include online accounts. Why do you think that's such a low percentage?
I've thought a lot about this, and I think that we haven't quite made that connection. We all know that we're going to pass at some point, not to get too dark or morbid, but it's a natural part of being human. And I think those things that we think about in that realm, we've removed from our modern day tech. And we now live in a space where everything is connected. Our mortality is connected to our email passwords, and maybe not directly, but there is a need to think about those things.
What are the risks for a family of not having access to digital assets when someone passes away?
It can actually be very stressful. So if you think about all of the accounts that you have, your email, your Amazon, your bills, your credit card points, any of your personal websites, think if you had two people who have a small business and they advertise it on TikTok and they sell on Etsy, and one of those people is the one that has those accounts registered and they're the one who passes, that's the family's income. So making sure that they have the ability to access those accounts, your loved ones, it's a huge problem, especially when you're grieving.
Can you explain, Mary, what ghosting identity theft is and why it's a concern for deceased digital accounts?
Ghosting identity theft is when you've already passed and someone steals your identity after you've passed. It can hinder everything. It can hinder the transfer of accounts, like bank accounts, to your spouse or to your next of kin. It can get into home title theft if you own your own home and you live together and one of the spouses passes away and someone steals their digital identity and their name is on the title of your home, which is paid off. They can find a way to transfer it into their name. There's so many different repercussions for this particular type of identity theft.
Mary, how do password managers play a role in managing digital assets? Would you recommend their use to people?
I absolutely recommend their use. I use a password manager myself. I'm constantly bugging my retired parents to do the same. Password managers are a fantastic way to organize all of this information. Even if you have to go to the individual sites to set permissions, so let's say you have a Coinbase account where you're trading crypto, you might have to give an authorization on Coinbase depending on what their terms and conditions are. But to be able to access that account and have the login credentials, the username and the password, saved in a password manager that then is automatically transferred to one of your loved ones upon your passing makes it so much easier for that person to access the account. Same thing with banks, credit card miles, any of those things can all be saved in a password manager.
Our guest is Mary James from allaboutcookies.org, and we're talking about what happens to your passwords when you die. According to your research, 39% of people still store passwords in their heads. What kind of a challenge does that create?
So the problem is that once you're gone, so is the password, and then it can be a million hoops to jump through to try to get access to that account, especially if you don't have access to the email. We've all hit the forgot password link and had an email sent to us or a text message with a link. And if you don't have access to that phone or you don't have access to that email, it makes it that much harder to access that account.
Your survey found that 50% of married people have money in online accounts the spouse does not know about. What implications does that have for estate planning? I would think many.
I was really surprised about how high that number was. The median value of these accounts is around $8,000. So that is money to pay for a funeral. If you've done no planning on that, it could be a few months worth of bills. It could be the difference between making the mortgage and becoming woefully far behind. There's just so many repercussions from not having access to that money. And even if you don't know that it's there, then what happens to it? It gets absorbed by the company or the app where you've been storing it. It goes to the government. There's so many different things that can happen.
Even more startling to me is your survey said only 3% of people share their digital account information with their lawyer or estate executor. Why is that number so low?
I'm not sure. You would think that that would be something that would be part of the planning. But again, I think that we have this disconnect as people where tech does not factor into the thoughts that we have about our own mortality. So it's just not something that's planned. And that's what we want to bring awareness to.
Mary, for someone just getting started with digital estate planning, what are the top steps that they should take today?
The first step that I would take would be activating and using a password manager. There are free applications and there are paid applications. It depends on the level of protection that you want. Paid applications tend to hold more than just passwords. They can hold medical files, passport information, driver's license information, and can be shared with family members. I would also recommend checking with each one of your individual accounts to see what the terms and conditions are for passing those on or transferring them to another person. And finally, I would talk with your loved ones. Tell them, hey, I have this password manager, or all of my passwords are here, or here's this lockbox that has everything you need to know if I pass. It's more open communication than anything else.
Mary James, writer for allaboutcookies.org. Mary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix Finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter, so help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Students in the classroom find their smartphone can be a helpful tool, but it can also become an annoying distraction. Recent research reveals a way to help students stay focused on their classwork. InfoTrack's Roy Mackey is back and has the story. Roy?
Thanks again, Chris. Ryan Redner is a professor and program director of the Behavior Analysis and Therapy Program at Southern Illinois University. Professor, you recently led a study on technology breaks in the classroom. What exactly is a technology break, and what inspired you to do some research in that area?
Well, a technology break is a break within the class that allows a student to interact with their cell phone. We didn't come up with this concept, but we wanted to test it to see if it would work in practice. So within the actual class in the college, the professor says, hey, now's the time you can use your cell phone. And the idea from the original researcher was that it would reduce internal or external distractions related to use, like there was some anxiety or something that students needed to check their phones, and this gives them that opportunity. And our motivation and goal for doing so was to allow professors to have more positive strategies to deal with cell phone use, rather than restrictive or punitive strategies.
Now, you tested breaks of 1, 2, or 4 minutes. Tell us what you found.
Yes, we tested different break durations because our thinking was that the longer the break, the larger effect we would have, meaning if they use their cell phone more during the break, they would use it less during class. In fact, that's not what we found, and that means there's still some things we don't fully understand about what's going on there. But in fact, the smallest break seemed to lead to the largest reductions in cell phone use in the lecture time. So that's somewhat counterintuitive. There's still more that we're going to need to find out about why that's happening, but it's efficient because it doesn't take much class time and still leads to a reduction in cell phone use and probably distraction during class.
That's interesting. Do you have any theories why only 1 minute works so well?
It is bizarre. It doesn't line up with the way that I think about the world, because think about if you were really hungry. During class, you would think, oh, I need some food. What am I going to do after this? And it's distracting. But if in class they gave you a little snack, you would be less hungry, probably less distracted related to food. So we thought it would work the same way. So we give more of the reinforcer, in this case, cell phone use. We think, just like that example with food, you would think about it less, be less distracted. It didn't work that way. But one possibility is, if you have a larger break, you can send more messages and then therefore receive and respond to more messages later in the class session. Mm. The data backs that up a little bit, but it's a guess, basically. It's at best conjecture. We can't say conclusively.
Is there something that other teachers and professors can learn from this study?
We have to consider cell phone use is probably fairly detrimental to learning. And so we want to give people strategies to deal with it in class. Some people will not feel comfortable using more punitive strategies, because some people might feel perfectly comfortable with restriction and punishment. That's great. That will work for them. But some people might not feel comfortable calling out a student in class or taking points away. And so here we're offering alternatives to say maybe we can do something that doesn't feel so bad for the teacher or students. It's less restrictive. It gives more freedom. Because in this paper, cell phone use was not restricted at all. So we said, hey, we're going to give you a break, but there was no restriction on cell phone use or punishment for using it if they did use it during lecture. And so we really want to give some attention to positive strategies.
I understand in some previous research, you tested penalizing students for using phones in the classroom. And in that study, you were able to actually measure how much of an impact phones had on their classwork.
Yes. Basically, every class period, they had the opportunity to earn participation points, but if they use their cell phone, their participation points were zeroed out. It didn't lead to like substantial grade reductions, but it meets the definition of punishment and restriction. And in the conditions in which cell phone use was restricted, the average quiz grade was 83%. That's in a condition where students are not using their cell phones much at all. And when they had free use, so no restriction, no punishment, their average quiz grade was around 76. So you're changing from a C to a B. And that's probably about right when you talk about what is the effect of distraction on learning. So that's one of the things I want to emphasize, is how important it is to think about what is happening to the student who's using their cell phone.
Professor Ryan Redner from Southern Illinois University, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
That wraps up another edition of InfoTrack. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm your host, Chris Whitting, inviting you to join us next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
Text us anytime. Just download the free Civic Media app and select 95.7 St. Croix Country.
My mind, if I faced one day on my own, I know I was saved the night that she gave this drifter's heart a home. Every night I should be on my knees, Lord knows how lucky I am. I'll never say it near enough. Thank God for this woman, amen.
been broken again and again. But I need all the cracks in my shattered heart, 'cause that's where her love gets in. Every night I should be on my knees, Lord knows how lucky I am. I'll never say near enough, thank God for this woman, amen. She gives me faith, she gives me grace, she gives me hope, she gives me strength, she gives me love, love without end. Thank God for this woman, amen. Thanks for the moon and the stars up above, forgiveness of sin and your undying love. Every twist, every turn, for the way you make sure all my roads led to her. So tonight I will fall down on my knees, 'cause Lord knows how lucky I am. I'm gonna shout at the top of my lungs,
like sweet red wine, and a pretty legs go to heaven every time. She got a gentle way that puts me at ease, and when she walks in a room I can hardly breathe. Got a devastated smile like a grown man to his knees. See, I'm gonna have feelings, it blows me away. She's everything I wanna say to a woman, but I couldn't find the words to say. She got one of them idiots, I don't know what to do. 'Cause every time I try to tell her how I feel, it comes out, I love you. You got whatever it is. You know I've never been the type they would ever want to stay. Bring them home at night and they're gone the next day. That all changed when she walked into my life. And people asking why it is, tell them I don't know. That just something about the woman makes my heart go haywire. She's gonna be my wife. She got one of them idiots, it blows me away. She's everything I wanna say to a woman, but I couldn't find the words to say. She got one of them idiots, I don't know what to do. 'Cause every time I try to tell her how I feel, it comes out, I love you. You got whatever it is. That's how I feel. 'Cause when she loves me, I'm on top of the world. 'Cause when she loves me, now I can live forever. And when she loves me, I am untouchable. She got one of them idiots, it blows me away. She's everything I wanna say to a woman, but I couldn't find the words to say. She got one of them idiots, I don't know what to do. 'Cause
Cause every time I try to tell her how I feel, it comes out, I love you, I do. You got whatever it is. Oh, you got whatever it is.
He had hard work caked on his overalls, sweat on his neck, chow in his jaw, when a stranger pulled up and met him outside his barn. Said, sir, I don't know if you ever would, but I built houses and neighborhoods, and I was wondering if you'd ever want to sell your farm. With his old dog barking and running around, he paused for a second, spit on the ground and kicked a little gravel, looked down and said, this is my dirt, these are my fields, where I harvest what I plant. That little pond, I catch bluegill, I built that barn with my two hands, where I raise my babies, a piece of me. Now this ain't just a piece of land, the money be great, but I can't part ways with a life that works. You can't put a greenback dollar on what it's worth. This is my dirt. Great-granddaddy bought it for 100 acres. He just got married when he signed the papers. Him and his brothers framed that old farmhouse. Every fence post here we put in the ground, ran the barbed wire and pulled the plow. Every last hay bale we built it. Yeah, I'd hate to be the first to sell it. This is my dirt, these are my fields, where I harvest what I plant. That little pond, I catch bluegill, I built that barn with my two hands, where I baby's a piece of me. Now this ain't just a piece of land, the money be great, but I can't part ways with a life that works. You can't put a greenback dollar on what it's worth. This is my dirt. This is where five generations have prayed for rain. They'll cover me in it when the good Lord calls my name. This is my dirt, these are my fields, where I harvest what I plant. That little pond, I catch bluegill, I built that barn with my two hands, where I raise my babies, a piece of me. Now this ain't just a piece of land, the money be great, but I can't part ways with a life that works. You can't put a greenback dollar on what it's worth. And this is my dirt. Yeah, this is my dirt. Where I harvest what I plant, this is my dirt. Where I raise my babies, this is my
missing. I know your head is turning, I know your heart is burning, Play here. 95.7 St. Croix Country.
It was the 14th of October and that t-shirt off your shoulder. I was drunk, said I was sober, and you said, yeah, right. We were talking for a minute, then some guy tried to cut in. You took my hand and we pretended like I was your guy. Whoa, and I tried to guess your middle name. Played that game, that mango reader you were drinking, and that Coldplay song that you were singing. And I bet right now you're probably thinking that it's crazy. I remember every detail, but I do. From your blue jeans to your shoes, girl, that night was just like you, unforgettable. Taking shots like it was nothing. Did the running, man, you loved it. Yeah, you laughed out loud. You brushed away your blunder and you kissed me out of nowhere. I can still show you the spot where everything went down. Whoa, I told you I was gonna marry you. You probably didn't think that it was true. Right off the deep in that mango reader you were drinking, in that Coldplay song that you were singing. And I bet right now you're probably thinking that it's crazy. I remember every detail, but I do. I can still smell your perfume. Girl, that night was just like you, unforgettable. From your blue jeans to your shoes, girl, that night was just like you, unforgettable.
Way too much for way too little. He drinks way too early till way too late. He hasn't had a race since New Year's Day in 88. Gets trampled on by everyone except when he comes in here. Now he's a product of the haggard generation. He's got a redneck side when you get him. He got the gold tooth look from a stiff right hook. He's proud he took for his right wing stand on Vietnam. Says he lost his brother there. He yells out Johnny Cash and the band starts to play. A ring of five as he walks up and stands there by the stage.
music hit me. Life was good and love was easy.
She got an MBA and a plush corner office. She got a don't mess with me attitude. She'll close the deal, she don't reveal that she can't feel the loneliness, the emptiness up when she comes in here. She's a product of the me generation. She got a rock and roll side when you get her agitated. She got the tattoo there on her derriere from a spring break there in Panama. Well, love was all she thought she ever need. She yells out to the band, no any Bruce Springsteen. Then she jumps up on the bar and she starts to scream. She says, hell yeah, turn it up, right on. Hell yeah, sounds good. Sing that song, guitar man playing all night long. Take me back to where the music hit me. Life was good, love was easy. Yeah, yeah. Entertained to get my mind off thinking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Hey, hell sounds good. Sing that song.
A guitar man playing all night long. Take me back to where the music hit me. Life is good. Hell yeah. Turn it up. Right on. Hell yeah. Sounds good. Sing that song. A guitar man playing all night long. Take me back to where the music hit me.
95.7 St. Croix Country.
Everybody's asking what the hell happened, wondering why it all went wrong. Mama always said, if you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all. And I've got my side of the story, and he's got his side too. So I ain't gonna go and tell you what he did, but I'll tell you what he didn't do. Treat me right, put me first, be a man of his word. Stay home cause he wanted to. Always fight for my love, hold on tight like it's something that he couldn't stand to lose. The devil's in the details, I won't tell. So I'ma take the high road, even though we both know I could run him out of this town. That's just dirty laundry, I don't need to wear the truth. So I ain't gonna tell you everything he did, but I'll tell you what he didn't do. Treat me right, put me first, be a man of his word. Stay home cause he wanted to. Always fight for my love, hold on tight. Something that he couldn't stand to lose. The devil's in the
thing you know, we take the fall. Still I think about the years since I first met you, and the way it might have been without you here. I don't know if words to me can still upset you, but I've just gotta make this memory stand clear. I know I'm leaving here a better man, knowing you this way. Things I couldn't do more, now I think I can. And I'm leaving here a better man. Like some old nursery rhyme your mama told you, you still believe in some old meant to be. Still I'm leaving here a better man, knowing you this way. Things I couldn't do before, now I think I can. And I'm better man. Yes, I'm leaving here a better man, knowing you this way. Things I couldn't do before, now I know I can. And I'm leaving here a better man. I'm leaving here a better man.
95.7 FM. Sitting in six lane backed up traffic, horns are honking, I've about had it. I'm looking for an exit sign. Gotta get out of here, get it all off my mind. And like a memory from your grandpa's attic, a song comes slipping through the radio static, changing my mood. A little George Strait, 1982, and it makes me wanna take a back road, makes me wanna take the long way home. Put a little gravel in my travel,